It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness broadcast. It's the 13th. It's Thursday. The Bible says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And the Bible says also, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Andrea, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together, to be able to open up your word and to be able to be fed fresh manna from heaven. We ask that you would please anoint the word of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and as always, continue to help us to grow in grace and wisdom as we draw close to you. This is what we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about time for the coming.
Amen. Our title, brothers and sisters, is Hypocrisy in the Home, Hypocrisy in the Home. You know, friends, it's important to have right doctrine. It's important to have stand prophecy. But we need practicality in the home. We need to be practical Christians in the home. We're going to learn that. We're going to see some stories in the Bible, friends, that show that there was not hypocrisy in the home. If you want drama and interesting stories and things that you can relate to, all you need is the Bible, friends. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 38, hypocrisy in the home. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for this day. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my friends. Genesis 38, it came to pass at that time that Judah was one of course, Jacob's sons. Judah went down from his brethren and turned in to a certain Adullamite. Just to give you the context, this would have been after Judah and his 10 brothers sold Joseph into Egypt, okay? They had wives and so on and so forth. And it says, and Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua, and he took her and went in unto her. She conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Ur. Basically, what's happening is Judah gets married, and he has a son named Ur. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she called his name Onan. And she yet again conceived and bare a son and called his name Shelah. And he was at Chezib when she bare him. And Judah took a wife for Ur, his firstborn. His name was Tamar. So now Jacob's, one of his sons, Judah, would be Joseph's brother, Reuben's brother, so on and so forth. He gets married, and he takes a wife. Well, I'm sorry, Judah took a wife for Ur, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. So let me start all over. Judah is, first of all, getting married, and Judah had three sons. One was Ur, Onan, and Shelah, okay? Now, the son Ur is now married to Tamar. And Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. Brothers and sisters, we need to break generational curses. Judah was evil, too. He participated in the selling of his brother. And a lot of times, even if we repent, some of our hereditary tendencies get passed on to our children. And we can see it in them. We can see the tendencies in them sometimes, you know, as they grow up. We say, wow, I was like that when I was such and such. And so sometimes we're even real hard on our children. And I believe we should be loving and firm and with love. But at the same time, sometimes we call our children names, and I've seen that. We don't spend any time with them. I've seen that. We just get angry with them. I've seen that. And at the same time, we are the ones that pass that tendency on to them. So we all need to be more like Jesus, friends. Be like Jesus. This is my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. So Ur is killed by God because he's so evil. And Ur, Judah's brother, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. And Judah said unto Onan, go in unto thy brother's wife and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass, when he went in unto his brother's wife, that he spilled it on the ground, lest that he should give seed to his brother. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, I've been around the block a little bit, okay? And I'm telling you, there is fanaticism that is in the ranks of God's people. And I knew of several people that believe in that this story was teaching. We're just going to be real here, that this story was teaching that the only purpose of sexual intercourse was to our children, because Onan spilled his seed so that he would not impregnate Tamar, okay? And so that's not a good thing. The Bible says, and the thing displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. So he was wicked as well. And now, you might ask questions like, well, why would he have to go into his brother's wife and united his own wife? You have to remember, we talked about a principle called progressive revelation. God allowed more than one wife back then. He just did. Their father, Israel, who was Jacob, had four wives. Remember, he wanted Rachel. Leah got tricked into Leah. Each of them had a handmaid, and when they were barren at different times, they let him marry the handmaid so that more children could come. So God just didn't make that a requirement back then. It's just the best way to say it. He allowed more than one wife. There were times where he allowed the consumption of alcohol. But as we get closer and closer, we see that God is preparing the people of God for heaven, and he's pulling away from us some of those things that are practices that will not be allowed in heaven, okay? So Jesus made it very clear we're only supposed to have, at this point in time, Moses allowed it because of the hardness of your heart. You can't just divorce your wife and just marry somebody else. If you do, or if she marries again and the divorce was not because of fornication, then you've got some people committing adultery, whether that whoever gets married again or has, you know, intercourse again. So, brothers and sisters, that's an example of progressive revelation. They could have more than one wife in the Old Testament, but Jesus said not anymore. And so as we get closer and closer to the second coming, you know, we're a little surprised maybe that God is telling us to do things that we were told to do back in the day. They ate regularly flesh foods. Flesh foods today will kill you. Now, the clean meat, we're not going to say we have a scripture that says the clean meats are a sin. But at the same time, brothers and sisters, much weaker than our forefathers were, and it's not safe, it's not wise, it's not healthy to eat the flesh of dead animals. This is, again, progressive revelation. What will we eat in heaven? The Bible says we'll eat from the tree of life, okay, which bears 12 manner of fruits. And so God is giving us this principle so that we might not get too bent out of shape when it is said to go into Tamar, his brother's wife, to produce seed for his brother to keep his legacy going. I will tell you that the theory that act is only for procreation, that is not biblical. That is not why Onan was killed. He was killed because he purposely was enjoying what he wanted to enjoy, but then purposely would not go through with it and to produce seed. And so that's what the Bible is very clear about. And so, you know, people, we can get fanatical about things, and I've known many a person who was in that fanaticism. The Bible never says that that act can only be for that thing. It's just that he purposely was trying to deprive his brother's legacy. All right, let's keep reading on. This is showing the Bible characters, brothers and sisters. The Bible, there's nothing new under the sun. These are evil people, some of these guys. All right, let's read on. Then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter, and remain a widow at thy father's house till Shelah, my son, be grown. For he said, let peradventure he die also as his brethren did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. You have to understand, she's free to marry anybody, but he's promising her that as soon as his other son becomes of age, he would put them together. They had arranged marriages. I'm not saying arranged marriages are always the best thing. I do believe that if you have godly parents, that they can give good guidance, but even godly parents would not want you to marry somebody you could not love. I do believe that there would be a lot less divorces if children listen to godly parents, okay? So, you know, that's that. But in the Bible, we do see the example of, you know, arranged marriages. And again, I'm not in any way saying that that is exactly what we do today, but the principle of seeking counsel from godly parents is a beautiful principle. So in process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died, and Judah's wife died, and Judah was comforted and went up to his sheep shearers to Timnah, he and his friend Hira, the Adullamite. So what's happening is a woman who was married to Ur, and Ur died, and then Onan came into her, but then spilled the seed on the ground. Now she asked to remain a widow, and so the third son is made, and she does that. But her father saw that. And so he goes to shear his sheep in Timnah. And it was told to Tamar, saying, "Go, my father-in-law goes up to Timnah to shear his sheep." He put her widow's garment off from her and covered her with a veil. He wrapped herself in skin and sat in the place, which is, by the way, to Timnah, where she saw that Sheba was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. So what happened was, Judah was a hypocrite. But the third son was of age, he did not keep his word. And that woman had deprived herself. She wasn't making herself available to be found by a husband. She was waiting on the promise of the son. And when Judah saw her, he thought her to be an harlot because she had covered her face. He turned unto her, by the way, and said, "Go to, I pray, let me come in unto thee." For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, "What wilt thou give me that thou mayest come in unto me?" And he said, "I will send thee a kid from the flock." She said, "What wilt thou give me? What wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it?" And he said, "What pledge shall I give thee?" He said, "The signet and thy bracelets, thy staff in thy hand." He gave it to her and came in to her, and she conceived by him. And she arose and went away and laid by her veil from her and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend the Adullamite to receive his pledge from the woman's hand, but he found her not. He asked the man of that place, the men of that place, saying, "Where is the harlot that was openly by the way?" And they said, "There was no harlot in this place." And he returned to Judah and said, "I cannot find her." And also the men of the place said that there was no harlot in this place. And Judah said, "Let her take it, lest he be shamed. Behold, I sent this kid, and thou hast not found her." So in his mind, I paid for my enjoyment, she didn't take it, so forget it. I can get another staff, I can get a new bracelet. That was his mindset. Forgot all about it. And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, "Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot, and also, behold, she is a child by whoredom." And Judah said, "Bring her forth, and let her be burnt." Now, didn't he go into a harlot? Yes, he did. If she plays the harlot, he's going to burn her. I'm just talking about hypocrisy in the church, brothers and sisters. A lot of times we do things, if somebody else does the same thing that we are doing, we are hard on them if we've done the same thing. Or if we've done it in the past, and we can get burnt, okay? When somebody else does it, we want to throw the book at them, and we used to do the same thing. Shame on us, hypocrite. That's who we are, brothers and sisters. We forget from whence God has brought us. We forget the beautiful things God has brought us to. We forget the depths of degradation from which we have been raised. You see, it's because we don't keep our minds on the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there. By faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. You know, we forgot that we had to sing that song once. I lay my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load, from the accursed load. We forgot we had an accursed load. So my brothers and sisters, a true godly Christian understands and is sympathetic even when a person is caught up in sin. They don't ignore that person. They don't despise that person. They feel sorry for that person. They weep, but they try to reach that person with truth and the gospel. They don't have nothing to do with that person. And the bottom line is a lot of times somebody might be accused of something, and they might even be innocent. And you, that's why people go in the front of the church, and then they leave the back door of the church because there's no love in the church. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, and most people, even in present truth, don't recognize this. It is not your stand on truth that authenticates you as a man of God and a woman of God. Jesus said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed, if ye have love one toward another. It is not your understanding of the 2300 days. It's not your understanding of the relationship to climate change. It's not your understanding of the Sabbath. It is not your understanding of any of those things, brothers and sisters. We lack love. It is love that shows that you are a Christian, brothers and sisters. And we need to understand. Now, if you love me, keep my commandments. So love is the motivating factor. And what happens is some people aren't keeping the commandments because they haven't even seen love among professed commandment keepers, brothers and sisters. I heard one guy said, I'd be a Christian if it wasn't for Christians. I'm here to tell you we don't have to be that way, friends. We can humble ourselves and be converted, and we can love people, and we can reveal Christ, and and you can still be faithful to God in every way he has said. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, not most of it, not some of it, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Our standards can be right. Our doctrines can be right. Our prophecy can be right. But if we don't have love, we are falling short of the mark. And so here is Judah. He's about to burn his daughter-in-law because she went out and committed fornication. And he was the very person who committed fornication with her. Let's see how his hypocrisy becomes exposed. Then when she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, by the man whose these are, am I with child? And she said, discern, I pray thee, whose these are, the signet, the bracelets, and the staff. And Judah acknowledged them and said, she hath been more righteous than I, because I gave her not to Shelah, my son, and he knew her again no more, meaning he did not continue to engage in sexual activity. But the bottom line is, seed went forth, and she could have children through that situation. And it came to pass in the time of the travail that, behold, twins were born in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his head a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. And it came to pass as he drew back his hand that, behold, his brother came out. And she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Perez. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zara. So, my brothers and sisters, there's plenty of drama in the Bible. There's plenty of stories that show human nature has never changed. And God wants us to be in control of our passions. He wants us to be in control of our appetite. He wants us to understand the joy of just serving God. It's a beautiful thing to have peace in the home, friends. Let's keep our word. Let's not be hard on people. If we find out that they made a mistake, let's consider our own selves. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible, I think it's Galatians 5:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. When we find somebody overtaken in a fault, we have nothing to do with them. We expose them. We gossip about them. We won't call them. We won't listen to them. We won't hear their side of a thing. We are hypocrites from the highest order. And God, because you won't read that you're supposed to do that in the Bible. You read that you're supposed to do a work of restoration. You might go to restore a brother and find out that, or a sister, and find out that what you heard about them wasn't even true. So I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, our God is a God who is going to dig deep in your character. He's going to dig deep in your heart, and he's going to help you to make sure that your heart is right, because he's trying to save you. You can't be saved if your heart's not right. I can't be saved if my heart is not right. I can't be saved if I'm smiling at all of you all and then mistreating my wife. I'm not going to be saved, brothers and sisters. And you see, God wants godly people, not hypocrites, in this world. So we're going to close out at this time, and this was a good lesson. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't say one thing and do another. Let's love one another. Let's consider ourselves, even if we find somebody has messed up. You know, I had a beautiful experience yesterday. I'm not going to give any names, but there was a little family challenge, and I was able to help them. And it was all a big misunderstanding. Somebody didn't do something because they didn't think the person somebody fell short of doing something. They just couldn't do it, but they didn't want to say what they had done or not able to do because they didn't want to put a burden, because the person they would have to tell it to was very much burdened. And so when that person found out that a certain thing wasn't done, they got very upset, not because it wasn't done, because they knew that the person would have – they understood the challenge, but because they weren't told, they ended up taking a loss. They could have maybe found somebody else to do it, you know. And so they got upset, hung up the phone, and then they thought about it, and then they tried to call the other person back, and it just immediately went to voicemail, and so they made an assumption, he or she blocked me. And so somehow God had me get involved and try to help out a little bit, and come to find out the person's phone was off, but I was able to bless and be a part of a three-way call, and that family is restored. Both parties said, yes, I shouldn't have done this. No, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have hung up the phone. And yes, I should have told you when I couldn't do it. You know, it was beautiful, friends. That's what I'm talking about. Very few people will say, you know what, I messed up. I'm sorry. And I'm going to tell you, if you can't do that, and don't think you've been so righteous and everything's been so right that you've never messed up, because if you have that mindset, you're in trouble. Don't find too many preachers that will say, you know what, I didn't do this perfectly, I apologize. I don't know too many that will do that. But brothers and sisters, I don't know too many of them that are going to heaven either. And a lot of them might be preaching, and a lot of them might be preaching present truth. And that's not to say they won't be saved, but God's going to have to deal with them on that point in order for them. And he's merciful. That's the beautiful thing. God is so merciful. So we can humble ourselves, and we can do right, and we can show a Christ-like character in humility, and God will bless us. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for helping us to burn all of the hypocrisy out of our lives. We ask that you would help us to be like Jesus at all times. We thank you very much. We pray that as we continue worship and wellness, that your spirit will dwell with us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, friends, it's time for us to take a break with the Torso song, and we'll be back, and we'll be talking about, what was our health topic? Oh, the life of the flesh in the blood. We'll be back after our song.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune, butter, meat, eggs and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved, you can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered, and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine? You can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vows.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If you're your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen. Title of our health message is The Life of the Flesh. Now, Leviticus 17:11 says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, we won't really understand how, or to help us understand how important blood is, you need to understand that the smallest structural unit of your body is a cell. That's the smallest structural unit. Cells group together to make tissue. Tissue groups together to make organs. Organs group together to make systems like the digestive system, the respiratory system, the nervous system. And all the systems put together make up the whole body. So the Bible says in Luke 16:10, if he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in much. So in order for you to be healthy, you must have healthy cells. But what does the cell need? The cell needs, number one, oxygen. Without it, it would die in minutes. The next thing the cell needs is water. Without it, it would die in hours. The cell also needs nutrition. Without it will die in days. The cell also needs waste elimination. Without it will die in weeks. And the cell also needs a defense system. And without it will always die prematurely. Okay? So the five pieces of the cell: oxygen, water, nutrition, waste elimination, and a defense system, which is our immune system. Okay? So where does the cell get these five needs? Guess what? It gets it from the blood. The blood brings the oxygen. The blood brings the water. The blood brings the nutrition. The blood takes away from the cell the waste, and it's the white blood cells that are the immune system, okay, or comprise the majority of our immune system. And so the blood is very important because it provides what the cell needs. Now, you have different components of that blood. You have the red cells, which have hemoglobin proteins that carry oxygen. And you also have a liquid portion of the blood, which actually, and you might not like the way this sounds, but I'm telling you the truth, the majority of the liquid portion of your blood is what becomes your urine, okay? It, as the body filters through the kidneys, the liquids are taken out. And then the solids, like the red cells, are put back in the blood. And then as you rehydrate, they get reassigned to fresh water, so on and so forth. So your urine is pretty much the liquid portion of your blood, okay? If you test blood, you will find that a lot of the components of the urine are there. For example, you can test blood and do a CBC and a CMP. The CMP will show how much potassium is in the blood. You can actually have potassium in your urine. You can have proteins in your blood. You can have proteins in your urine. You understand you do have some ammonia, some urea, that kind of thing in the blood. That's what forms the urine. So the point being made is the life of the flesh is in the blood. There are things in our urine that are also in our blood. So that's just a point. There's a lot of other things. There are red cells and that white blood cells and all of that. So my brothers and sisters, what are we saying? We've got to have, if you want to have a healthy body, you must have healthy blood. And so all we do at our wellness retreat, friends, here, we just clean up your blood. That's what we're doing here. We do hydrotherapy. We do herbal therapy. We put you on the 8 laws of health, which we call the live free lifestyle. What are we doing? We're cleaning the blood. We're on a fast. I don't mind telling you, we're actually in a program right now. We're seeing some wonderful results with the guests that are here. So the point I'm making simply is that the blood is so important. God's way of lifestyle and healing and natural remedies simply purifies the blood. The blood is the current of life, we're told in a book called Ministry of Healing. And we are to do all we can to build it up and keep it clean. All right? So that's why we don't eat the flesh of dead animals, because it tends to make the blood more toxic. That's why we don't eat a lot of sugar, because it makes the blood more toxic. That's why we drink plenty of water, because it keeps the blood from becoming too toxic. Amen. All right, and it's time for roll call. We'll start with Facebook, and we have Georgia represented. I'm not sure. I think we have someone from Zambia represented. Praise God. And on the call, we have Ohio and Ohio again. We have actually Ohio three times. Praise God for Ohio this morning. We have Alabama. We have Pennsylvania. We have Maryland. We have Delaware, 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 and Delaware again, and Georgia. And we are your servants here in Pennsylvania as well. If anyone has any comment or question, please press star 6. We'd love to entertain your comment or question at this time. And we have Sister Vicki giving us some encouragement. Good morning, and some other encouragement on Facebook. God bless you, Sister. And if there is anyone that wants to share anything, please press star 6 at this time. We have about 18 minutes to the top of the hour, so we have time. If anyone has a thought, question, comment, praise report, anything you'd like to share. It doesn't even have to be on the topic today. You might just have a question about the Bible or a question about your body or a question about life in general. Okay, we've got our dear sister Winston, one of our mothers in Israel, on the line. We also have Sister Desiree on the line. We'll go ahead and start our sharing and caring time. And we start with Sister Winston. Good morning, Sister Winston.
Good morning, Pastor. I just wanted to say I was truly blessed by the ministry today about how Judah, he goes down and he goes down with the harlot, but he doesn't. And then when his daughter-in-law gets pregnant, he points a finger. Well, he's doing the same thing that he's accusing her of doing. And back in the day, you know, the more children you had back in the day, it was because, you know, the population had to be at a certain percentage. And the more children you had back in the day, mostly they were shepherds or farmers or something like that, and that's how they made their living. But, you know, in the last days that we're living in, the Bible said knowledge will increase, and knowledge has increased so that young people, you know, they just don't know what, they don't even know what a dial phone is like, you know, because of technology has increased and everything. But, you know, I thank the Lord because he has blessed me over and over and over again. And, you know, I don't have perfect health, but God is in charge and he knows what he's doing, and he doesn't need my help because he knows more about me than I do myself. But I thank God because he has brought me this far, and I pray every day that he will direct my path and help me to be what he will have me to be. And like I said, I pray for my family. I see what they do wrong, but I don't, you know, talk with them about it because they don't like when I, you know, say, you know, maybe if you do, you shouldn't have done that. They don't like it because they say, all you do is tell us the same thing over and over again, you know. So now I hold peace and I just pray for them. And, you know, I love them. And that's what we have to do. We have to have love for one another. So each day I pray that the Lord would direct my path. And when I go out on my own, I ask God to direct me to the people that he will have me to witness to and everything like that. But I know that I only have to give an account of what I do. And every day I pray, it's my prayer, Father, give me a pure heart. Because he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I want to do what's right. But, you know, I encourage others and you know, I live the life, and I thank God for your ministry. And I have truly been blessed because I know God brought you and Sister Maria into my life. But let me get off the phone because maybe somebody else has something to say, and I can go on and on and on about how God has been good to me. So everybody have a blessed day.
Thank you. We enjoy every moment of it. We enjoy every moment of it. God bless you. All right. Good morning, Sister Desiree.
Yes, good morning. I wanted to see, so Judah, he, you know how I talked about the Lion of Judah in the Word of God? Is that referencing Judah here?
It was through the lineage of Judah that Christ would come. You know, you had
and
so, you know, the children of Levi became priests, but Jesus did come through the lineage of Judah.
Through Judah. And I guess I was thinking about what he did with Tamar, why God did not, you know, because he was going to burn her thoughts. And I remember reading that. I was like, so how does it come through when he was thinking to do so? Or why? Now, I know God doesn't think the way we do, but I was just, you know, putting that together. And
are you asking our question why that Judah would be chosen to have the lineage of Christ since he did that act? Is that You know, it's a wonderful question, sis. It's a wonderful question. It shows you that you're thinking. But here's the thing. All have sinned and come short of the glory. Do you remember when we were studying the other day that when the Shechemites, when one of the sons wanted to marry Dinah, but he slept with Dinah, which was one of Jacob's daughters. I may not be getting it right. Yes, one of Jacob's daughters, Dinah, because she went out. She wanted to be worldly. She wanted to learn about what's going on in the world. And so she was a nice-looking lady, and so she ended up having a sexual encounter with one of the men, but he really loved her. He wanted to marry her. And so he came to her family and said, please give her whatever you want, I'll do it. And then the brothers deceitfully said, well, we can't give our daughters to you, and we can't take your daughters because you're not circumcised. So they had all the men be circumcised, and when they were sore, when they were in pain, it was Reuben, and it was Levi. So I bring that out because Levi's descendants became the priest. Moses was one of the Levites, and Aaron. So they became the ones. And so later, they were the ones that, when the golden calf was done, they did not participate in that. And so it's a beautiful thing. It shows that we look back on our own lives and we see some of the bad things we've done. God can convert us, and he can change us, and we can be used by him in a great and mighty way. So to me, it illustrates that. So he let Levi, who killed all the men, a horrible crime, some of his descendants became the priesthood of the church. And then, of course, Judah, Jesus came through his lineage. So I just think it shows that God doesn't choose us because our ancestry was perfect. He chooses us because we give our hearts to him.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Is there anyone else that would like to share anything before we wrap it up this morning? Let's press star 6 if you do. All right, my friends, I will ask my wife, Undreamed Of, if she would take us to the throne of grace for our closing prayer.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. Thank you for all that you have done. Given us your word, Lord, and helping us to be able to closer to you. We pray for everyone on the line that you will extend and grant to us spiritual, mental, and physical healing. We pray that you will bless these efforts as we hold labor with you. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us be
free of all of our sins by remembering the death on Calvary that was paid for in our lives. Help us to be victorious and help us to be faithful to until you return. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. For he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
If we do our part in faith, open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust.